cold and disease.
Una, come up, and let's welcome again. Una, go.
Ask the Lord to give us the direction that we need as we look to Him.
Father, we come to the throne room of grace, knowing that, Lord, you prepared a life for us that, Lord, we're probably never all fulfilled to the fullest because of our misunderstandings and inhibitions and those things that we come short in. But, Lord, we're looking for you to open the eyes of our understanding tonight, Lord. Give us the wisdom that you've asked us to come and ask for because you don't refuse any that seek you diligently. Now, Lord, make that truth something that we want to embellish each and every day. And, Lord, to give you the glory, praise, and honor along the way and in the way. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, how many know that you had some idea as you were growing and maturing that there were things that in life you look forward to taking part in and accomplishing. We, have those anticipations about what I'm going to be. And parents, you know, sit around and ask their children, what would you like to be? And they watch them as they grow up change their mind about half a dozen times. Right. Because as they're going through different periods of maturity, their interests change as well. But the one thing that we know is that
for
a parent, someone wants to give you information that will help you accomplish what's necessary to get you to a place in life where you can be more or less reliant on the information that you receive that has helped you to achieve some of the goals that have been given to you to set for yourself and to overcome as well as be able to be a blessing to others in the process. And that all takes time. It takes time because it doesn't happen overnight. The man who was standing here this morning, his father told me one time, I said, look, to him one day, I said, Doc, how long is it going to take me to learn the Bible? I was naive, uninformed, and thought that somehow I could read the book enough times that I would know it all.
No way.
Think that you're know-it-all. Nobody's here. Well, it came. He never answered me. He went on to glory. He told me what they
did. Working on it.
Well, I came to realize that, you know what, no much or how much time I spend in God's Word, I'm just scratching the surface. Because He's not going to give me any more than I need. Because then I think that I was somebody special. You know, there's the people you got to look up to because I don't know what you're looking for, but I've got it all. And I learned that idea had to go by the wayside, that God is in the business of growing His children, and He's teaching us at a rate that He knows we're willing to comply with His will and to grow in grace that He can use us in the life that He's given to us in a way that's going to, Lord, point others towards Him. Now, Peter, John had probably traveled this little path that they're taking this morning on numerous occasions because they wanted to go in and, you know, about prayer time, and that's always a good time to start. But for us, we can have prayer time all day long. Wherever my just sitting in this room with nothing's going on, I can be in prayer with the Lord because He reads what's going on in our hearts and that we can express them to Him wherever we are. And they hadn't learned that yet. You know, they had been sitting around waiting to see what was going to happen next. Right? And Jesus spent 40 days with them revealing to Himself what He had done, why He had done it, and what it would mean to them if they were willing to continue on the path that He had chosen for them. You know, those 12 that they were chosen, only one of them was a failure. And it was not because it was something that Christ didn't know about. The Old Testament tells us that He was the son of perdition, and that means destruction. You know, the thing is, God gave him the same opportunity to be one of those that would be faithful, but he had an interest. And, you know, the world has an interest too. Anybody know what their primary interest is?
Money.
Money. And somehow we have, as a church, you know, sometimes seen folks who seem to have that same idea that this is all about the dollar. But it's not. You know what? I think about how we got here tonight and what God has done for us in making it possible. If you go out there to the desk and ask him, hey, I'm going to stay here next week, how much would it cost me? You know what they're going to tell you?
More than you have.
Who?
More than you have.
About three times more.
Yeah, right.
About three times more. So we're here because God opened the door and gave us the means to be able to accomplish it. Because of what? Because of who I am or because of who you are?
No, because of who God is.
Faith by to do something underhanded. And the Lord revealed it to me. And I faced him with it. And I said, no, that's not going to work. And God allowed us to start this path. And do you think that they're happy with it? That they like the fact that they're giving a room away at a rate that no longer they consider reasonable? No, they're not. I can tell you that, folks. Do we have the victory? Yes. And is God going to give us the ability to be a witness to them and show them the love of Christ?
Yes.
Oh, yes. And by doing that, we may even win one or two of them there.
Amen.
And, you know, I think, Lord, there's nothing that we're going to put our hands to if we give it to God to direct and guide and lead us that we cannot accomplish for His glory. And what a name this evening's sermon was, what are you looking for? Now, you could be looking at your bank account. Look, there's a lady sitting in this room, and I'm not going to name her, because about 4 or 5 years ago, she told me something that I didn't know about, and that I had been in an accident since in 19, where my hip was crushed, and I had a titanium plate put in 14 screws, and that's what I'm walking around on today. But it works, because God gave me a surgeon who knew what he was doing, and he was able to piece it back together, and I'm here to tell you, it feels pretty good. Almost normal. But you know what? It wasn't so because I felt like he had to, or that he was going to do it just because I was born again, or that I was saved. No, I felt, Lord, that you wanted me back on my feet so I could keep on following you and giving the life that I have to you so that I could walk where you wanted to take me, talk what you wanted to tell me, and give what you've given to me as freely as you have so that I could glorify you. And you're never going to hear from this pulpit while I'm behind it anything but Jesus. And that's the only one I follow. I don't follow the ideas of man about what it takes to make this work or how much of it I need to get to accomplish what God's already given me to do. Do you know that there's nobody in this room that God has led into a ministry that the devil can take from you? That's right. If God gave it to you, he can't take it away from you.
That's right.
He'll try. Oh, yeah. He's around walking, down like a toothless lion. But he cannot take what God has given to you. And these two men are walking in there to pray. Saved, but have they read the Bible? Well, they may have read part of the Old Testament, but there was no scripture that tells them all the things that you and I have available about the finished work of Christ. See? Now, was the gospel preached in the Old Testament? Oh, yes. Now, if you're working with somebody of a Jewish persuasion, you want to know what God was doing with the Jewish nation during that time. Because they look at it from a different perspective than you do. But when you can sit down and tell them how that points to Jesus, when you go through those various stories and what God was doing with the king or the priest or the prophet, and they were the three men or offices that were anointed. Not everybody was anointed with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and they did not get the infilling presence of God to redeem them and to regenerate them in the Old Testament. God could and did remove from one of their kings his presence. Anybody know who that was?
Saul.
Saul, yes. God gave it, the word says he gave him a new heart. But that new heart didn't last long enough for him to get it, overcome the greed that was in him as well. And thank God, we do not have to suffer through that. When we give our hearts to the Lord, he gives us a new one, one that's regenerated, one that's brand spanking new. And all of that stuff that had us bound up and tied up and you know, thinking that somehow we were self-sufficient is done away with. Because he cleans the slate. He gives us an open door to say, come home and walk with me. And that means that I'm learning to walk with him every day. I'm learning to live the life that he intended every day. And it's never going to stop with any of us. Because when it, you know, we say, well, boy, I'm getting old. Anybody in here getting old? Well, I don't know who the oldest one is. I talked to a young lady this morning at breakfast who was 88, and I thought my 86 was, I still felt like a kid. I said, there's somebody older than me. But, you know what? It's not your age either. It doesn't mean there's some young Christians, and I remember being one of those. And I went a little while ago, I don't know, tell you how many years ago, because I was still a teenager when the Lord saved me. But you know what? I didn't know anything. didn't have any idea that God had planned a life that I would live and that he would move in my heart and my mind to do those things that I'm doing today. And most of us all came through that at some point. Maybe some longer than others, but the bottom line is, it's not where you start from, it's how you wind up. That's the bottom line. Where am I going? What am I looking for? I'm looking for Jesus.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, and that's why when I read the Old Testament, and it told me that as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be in the last days as well. And folks, you don't have to look very far to find out that we're going there on a very fast rate.
Yes, we are.
That the world is trying to figure it out, but they don't have the answer unless we give it to them. And the only way we're going to do that is be able to approach them in their problems and not come on and say, well, you don't know what you're talking about. No, you've got to do it this way or else. I used to get on a subway in Philadelphia here, right on Broad Street, and there was a woman on there that they used to bring, you're going to hell! Get saved. I don't think she ever saved anybody. Thanks, he was telling that they didn't know that they were going to hell, they were going to be lost. Well, first of all, that's not good news. What I want to tell them is the good news. If you turn to Jesus, you've got a life to look forward to now and one that he'll give you for eternity.
Amen.
And then you're going to be able to say, hey, how's that work? You know, what do I need to do? Well, you can't do anything. It's not something you do. It's something that's already been done. And God will give you the grace that you need to walk in it and accomplish what he's done for you. Now, this old fellow sitting by the gate here was looking for money. And he thought that he had just found a pair that was willing to give him something, but they had a different idea. See, they had just found out that the grace that they received was something they felt like they could share. You know, it's great to watch a new Christian when they come to know the Lord and they were filled with the Spirit. And that can happen without anyone knowing that it's, you know, they don't see any difference in you. You look the same. Maybe you'd be ugly. But the truth of the matter is that God does the work on the inside, not on the outside. And the thing is that your attitude is going to change. The way that you see life is going to change, because He's going to give you the understanding and the ability to look at it from His point of view and not from the world. One of the things that I have a problem with is, you know, what you put in is what you get out. Some of us need to leave that oomph alone. Some of us need to leave those political agendas alone. Some of us need to, you know, find out that those folks overseas that are fighting are doing it because they don't know any better. Nobody's told them that that's not the way it's going to work. That they think that they're going to take over somebody else's life and tell them what to do when they can't run their own. Now, but we know a God who will take your heart and mold it and shape it in the image of His Son. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." And when you start to see the difference between how I used to do it and how God wants me to do it, then I can see how good life is. But if I'm still looking at it from the world's position, I'm going to say, how much can I get out of this? Or how much are they taking from me? Or how much should I give? I took my wife to one of those evangelists that's been around for about 50 years, but he's a con artist. He's a con artist. He's one of those money guys. And I think we've all run into him at some point along the way. And, you know, it's always how many people got $1,000 that went around there, you know? Or how many got 500? You know, the amount of blessing you're going to get depends on how much you can afford. And my wife and I were in New York. We'd gotten on a bus with a group of prayer folks that I was interacting with at that point. And rode up with them because the brothers and sisters I was with, they were all great people. But they had made to believe that this fellow had something going on that they could be blessed in. Well, they were standing there, and a woman walks up to her and says, "Come on up with me, and we're going to get you a new set of eyes."
Yeah, right.
Okay. Do you mind if I tell them, Viv?
Go ahead.
She looked at the woman and said, "No, you can take me nowhere."
I can hear her saying it, too.
She said, "She's got two prostheses."
Oh, my God.
So, she said, "I ain't coming back here anymore." I said, "I'm with you." I'm with you on that one. No prostheses. That I know, except a miracle would have replaced their eyes. But, not that that's impossible for God, but you know, we have to use the simple reasoning. If God wanted her to have two eyes that were working in it, then He would have given them to her while she still had the ones that were in her head that could have been repaired or made whole.
That's
not right. Some clown coming along talking about it. Let me give you a set of eyes. One of the things that I realized when I started to lose my sight was, Lord, where do we go from here? Because as a businessman, I would make plenty of money. I was a good mechanic. I had a brother that was a good mechanic. I had a friend that was a good mechanic. And we had Glassboro, New Jersey, sewed up. Everything that went through there that needed any work on it, they were bringing to us. And I walked in there one morning, picked up a work order that I'd written the night before, and I couldn't read my own writing. So I said, "Lord, I guess this is one of those turns in life that you made available." I've seen folks who are going blind that you think they lost their lives, that somebody took everything that made life worth living away from them. But thank God, I had a mother who raised four of us with the same condition, cooked, cleaned, washed, and did everything any other one could do, and never complained one day about it. And she was the best example God could have ever given to me, because I would take my problems to listen to me. But most of the time she wouldn't say anything because she knew I knew the answers already. I figured that one out too. She went, I was with her the last 14 years of her life.
Mom.
And I said to her, Mom, I tried to do what I could to help you. She said, you've been a good son. I said, thank you. That was the best compliment I've ever had in life. Because I love that woman as well. And I'm a softie, really. You can get me to weeping, just over some of the simplest things, but they mean a whole lot to me when I think about the experiences and the way that God has used my life to teach me how to live and how to be a part of what He's doing.
Yep.
And that's the only place we're going to learn it from, you know. Now, Peter says to this fellow, I don't have any money to give you, but how about if you take what I have? Now, this fellow could have told him, no, I don't want that. Get on out of my sight. You know, you ever have anybody tell you that you try to help pay? No, I don't want that.
Yep.
You don't got any money, I don't want what you're trying to do. And you could probably go out and speak here and tell somebody on the corner if they ask you, how many of you have already been hit up? Anybody here? We were today. You got any change?
Yeah.
Right. But see, we know a woman that used to sit a block from here who was visually impaired, and she accumulated $150,000. And wouldn't give you a nickel. But she was always looking for something from somebody else. Right? And unfortunately, we had the opportunity to tell her that that's what life is not all about. You need Jesus. And she would talk a good story, but she never let her heart be open to receive it. And you know, we can help her by, you know, saying, hey, look, even though your money's not where you can get your hands on it now, because they put her in a nursing home, and I don't know whether she still has the money or not, or whether the bank's taken it, but it was a life that was wasted in that sense, because she wouldn't, you know, trust anybody else to be a friend to where she could say, hey, if I get ill, then maybe you could monitor my, you know, welfare and see that I get treated properly. But nobody came forward to do that. And the thing is, that's not the way God wants us to end up. You know, the Lord is the helper of the helpless. That you can go and see her, and I'll tell you where she's at if you want. but she's not going to tell you anything good anymore. Everything just happening to her is bad. Because she can barely move. She's gotten so heavy and so out of shape and out of track with reality that she just thinks the world is her worst enemy, when really it's herself. You know, she's gotten where she hoped to be with her finances, but they're not doing her any good. And we don't need to be on the street looking for what somebody else can do for us when God will lead you into a place where He does it for you, and then gives you the opportunity to participate in it. And that is what I'm looking for. Lord, can you tell me how and where NCCB is going to go next year? What are we going to be involved in, and that we can affect the lives of those within the group, as well as reaching out to those that we meet along the way? That in itself is awesome, because God wants us to do it. He's the one who's given us the charge to go and to teach all nations. That means that doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter what you think about them either, whether one of this kind or that kind came on to you wrong, doesn't mean that you have the right to condemn any group or anybody for that matter. But people were condemned. Oh, and I did start to talk about a particular individual that's in this room that told me, you know what we need to do with the NCCB is invest in a system that will give us some advantages in the monetary system. And she was right. But I had to learn that lesson for myself first, because I took some of that money I got for this hip and I invested it in a CD that pays me 4% interest. And in 2 years, I accumulated $2,300. And I said, now, you know what? I've lived here over 80 years and didn't know all of this was possible. But, you know what? We're going to have to start thinking a little smarter, too, to be able to get along with what's going on in this world around us. And using every means that God gives us to take advantage of it, what He has provided us with to do what He's called us for. And that means we've got to work together. Stop worrying about what I'm doing. Tell me if I'm doing it the way God intended it for me. And that's the case. But don't try to look down on me because you don't think the same way I do. You've lost friends because you don't think the same way I do. Hey, God didn't make us all alike. And we're not all in the same place when it comes to our walk either. I'm growing, you're growing, and we come together as one in Christ. That means that when I find that there's something I can show you that will help you to grow, then I should be willing to share it. And when the Lord used me out there as a mechanic in the world, whatever I learned, I had no problem sharing with anyone else. I found that there were guys that, you know, the first guy to show me how to set up a rear differential was a Jewish boy. And I told him, I said, I don't know how to do this. And I was working for a Chevy agency. And he showed me one time. And after that, I threw the meter away and everything else, and I could do it by feel. But I had to find out what was necessary to happen before I could accomplish it. And somebody's got to show us the way. And God has a plan that He's built into the body of Christ to show us the way. And that man sitting at that gate didn't get any money, but God showed him the way. And what did he do? He got up, jumped up, and started dancing, saying, look at this. Hey, because Peter said, get up on your feet. And he listened to what Peter said to him, that I'm going to give you what I've got. And what do you think he wanted more than the money that he had been collecting for most of his life sitting by that gate? He wanted his health. Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's a lot of people today that want to be healthy out there in the world that have physical illnesses that we may not be able to cure, depending on what God is doing in their lives. I don't believe that miracles are impossible. I think they're not the way that we would like to see them. You know, just put my hands on you and you're going to jump up like that man did. But I believe that every one of us has probably been a benefactor of a miracle at some point in his life. I watched God deliver me from certain death on a motorcycle. I was doing over 100 miles an hour one night down a two-lane road that was fogged in, ran up over the top of a rise into the back of a tractor trailer, and all I had time to do was turn that bike out and get into the alongside of it, and 10 seconds later, another car came down the road on the side of the road that I was on. I had no place to go. I couldn't slow it down fast enough. I couldn't get past the tractor trailer fast enough. And I looked down at this guy in the car as he went by, and he never touched me. Either one of them had touched me, I'd have been dead today, because at over 100 miles an hour, there's no way to go. There's nowhere to go. So I know miracle for real. And I said to the Lord, that's one that you showed me yourself. How he did it, I don't know. Because that bike was big enough that there was no room between me and that car to get through there. But he went by and I just said, and you know what? I think that I'm not special. Never will be. Never been anything more than one of His creation and was made His son. And but He's shown me over the last 73 years that He start leaping and dancing in the face of God. He went into the temple, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He went in there and started to witness to all those folks and tell them, hey, you know what? I'm whole. And they recognize him. Well, you know what I always thought about? How many times did Jesus walk past him? Because Jesus went in the temple on a regular basis, right? And that man was sitting there probably using the same spot that Christ has walked by on occasion. But God didn't choose to heal him at that point. He had a particular time that he wanted to give his example of grace and mercy to that young man. And it also did something for those two folks that had the opportunity to see God working on their behalf as his representatives. And, you know, it was well known that people knew that he was a cripple. It wasn't that even the Sadducees and the Pharisees couldn't challenge that. They said they had to admit that it was done, because if they didn't, the people would have stoned them. You know, the world today is trying to not only deny Christ, but they're trying to tell us that we can't talk about it. And you got to kill me to stop me from talking. Literally, really. Because if you're not willing to live for him, die for him, you really can't live for him. That's the bottom line. He tells us that in his word, that we need to be able to give our lives into his hands and say, you're my protector. You're the one that I rely on. You're the one that's going to guide and lead me through this journey in victory, whether or not I'm able to walk, fly, or crawl. Whatever condition I'm in, I still have a voice to say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And where should it start? It starts in our hearts. It's never going to be manufactured with our hands, with our feet, with our ears, or our eyes, or tongue. It starts in our heart. And Jesus said, out of the mouth come the issues of life. That's issues of, are you willing to say yes to Jesus Christ and deny the world because of its agendas that wants you to fall in line, be a part of the status quo? Oh, yeah. I went silent about 40, and I hadn't achieved a high school graduate status at that age. I dropped out of school in 11th grade and went into service a year later. But I figured it was time for me to get my high school diploma. So I went to classes and was able to do that. And then I decided to take some extra courses. So I got into electronics. And after a year and a half, I thought I was going to get a BA. I only had 6 months to go. But back then, I told them, I can't do these drafting courses. What you're asking me to do, I can't follow those lines from down here, way up there somewhere, and tell you how that circuit was, you know, going. And they said, well, if you can't do that, then you can't graduate it. I said, well, I guess this is not where you want me to be, Lord. But it was a good learning experience, because I got into amateur radio, and God's given me a ministry there. And I've talked to folks around this world about Jesus. I don't need their drafting course to show me across a piece of paper. I just need a microphone to tell me there's a body that needs some help. There's somebody who's looking for some answers. There's somebody who wants to know, is this real? And for about 3 years, I had a group of blind people. It's called the Blind Hams Group. And for 3 years, they listened to me. Now they don't want to hear from me, because they know that what I've told them will help them. And if, you know, you've got two choices in life. You can accept it or reject it. And you know what? I didn't stop talking to them. I still stop by and say hello every once in a while. But I want them to know that you haven't chased me away. I'm just waiting for God to do what he wants to do with you, to be able to bring you into the fold, because God's better at working through our life circumstances and getting people to realize their need. And he does that on his time level, not ours. We think that hold of and put their trust and faith in, you just want another soul. And one of the things we need to stop doing is counting kids. I also told the Lord, I'm not counting numbers, Lord. I let you do that. You're better at bookkeeping than I am. And, you know, I don't want to say that. Look, I had 1,000 souls come to the Lord there last night at the meeting because of who I am. Not going to happen. But Peter and John got one soul, and it caused a stir. And that stir was so great that the opposition grabbed a hold of them and threw them in prison. But did that stop them?
No.
They weren't doing anything down there but praising the Lord, and an angel come along and said, come on out of here. You ain't done yet. I'd like to see that happen today. What would the government do? They lock you up in the book. Told you to go out there in that front of City Hall and start preaching the gospel again. That might shake a few of them up, right? Oh, yes. But the thing is that wherever we're at, God can give us the ability to accomplish His purpose. And sometimes we think that we know what it is. I don't believe that they went over to that temple that morning thinking that they were going to be able to, you know, run into this fellow, and God was going to ultimately tell him, you pray for him and tell him that he's going to be healed because of who I am and what I'm going to do through you. They didn't have that bill when they got up in the morning. God didn't push them in there. Just, get up here, go over there and do that. Had a pastor that the Lord told me to counsel. And I was in the church for about 3 years. And I didn't know what the Lord told me. Go encourage her and let her know that whatever she's contemplating, she doesn't have to worry about, just to rely on Jesus. And she said, well, what are you doing? I said, because the Lord told me to. I talked to her too.
Thank you.
And, you know, I didn't know why. I had no idea what was going on in her life, but I knew that the Lord was saying they needed to be encouraged. And sometimes we get the message to do something. Oh, I ain't got time for that. I got to go here. I got something better to do. Or I think that that'll wait till later. No. We have to learn to listen to God speaking to our heart when it comes to being able to help somebody else. And for, oh, I guess it was about another month or two, I was still in that church. But then they started sending these people down from the seminary, didn't like what I was saying. Because I said, that's not in the Bible. They were taught teaching situational ethics. In other words, you can tell a little white lie, that's not going to hurt you. I said, a white lie is just as bad as any other lie. And after a while, they got a little frustrated with me because they sent about half a dozen people down trying to deal with it. And I said, well, enough of this. It's time to go now, Lord. And I had to leave there. And I loved the people there. We had good fellowship, singing and praising. And they had some good cooks in the church, too. But I knew it was time to go. About a year later, I went up there, and the pastor came out and said, grabbed my hand and said, thank you, you know. And it dawned on me when I heard that she had had a baby that was about a year old, that she was contemplating committing an abortion with that child because they told her it was autistic. But Vivian can tell you, that child is a great music singer and has a life of its own, even with being autistic. God knows what to do with those that He's bringing into this world. And, you know, we see what's going on around us with the folks that have this agenda about the abortion and their strange feelings about one another. And, you know, we need to pray for them. We need to ask God to give us an opportunity to show them that He loves them, that there's no illness, sickness, or disease that can keep us from having a relationship that He's already bought and paid for. He bought it. what? You know he bought you. You belong to him.
Yes.
That his blood was shed so that your sin could be washed away. And you don't give him anything good. All these folks running around talking about I'm a good person. My Bible says there's none good, no, not one. That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, that's the way to cut stuff like that. Okay, let me give you a few kudos there. Now, I believe in giving people praise and honor when they've done something that is worth it. But as the pastor said this morning, that means you got to get out of yourself, limiting attitude of who I am, and let God direct and guide you through this life, and looking at how much I can do, Lord, do what you want to do through me. That's what makes the difference. And I'm telling you that this man never had a difficulty with praising the Lord to that, I bet you. And I probably didn't want him in the temple anymore either. Because, he was going in there and telling them, hey, I was healed by Peter and John. And Peter and John says, it wasn't us. It was Jesus Christ working through us. You crucified. You put on the cross. And you allowed the Gentiles to be the means by which you use because of your intimidation and threatening of getting up and causing a disturbance that Pilate didn't want to kill Jesus. He knew that. He said himself, this man is, I found no evil in him. But and his wife said, hey, leave that man alone. I had some bad dreams about him. But that didn't stop them from persisting in giving him over to them to kill, because they had no ability to do that. They had been taken away from them by the Romans, that they could not perform a murder or hanging or anything else unless it was given them by the Romans. So the Romans had to be the ones that actually gave them the authority to have him hung on the tree. But they participated in it willingly. And, I thank God that he allowed it. Because if he hadn't, you and I wouldn't be here tonight.
That's right.
We'd be out there somewhere doing what the rest of the world's doing. Groping around in the dark. Trying to find a way. Thinking that maybe what I've got in the bank is going to keep me and get me to where I need to be. But, I told somebody, I've been on Social Security for probably most of the longest time you've been alive. I don't feel they owe me anything, but I thank God that they were there when I had four children. They were still in the process of growing up, and I thank God for the one that came back and said, you know, Bob, you taught us how to work.
Yeah.
That was the greatest compliment he could have ever given me. Because I didn't want any bums on the street. And, the thing is that when we are able to realize that Jesus not only is the way, he's the only way, that he is the life, and there is no other life, and that he's the truth. If you want to know what truth is, you look at what he has to say about it. And you can bank your life on it, that it will stand. Amen. And I thank you folks for allowing me to be a part of your lives, as well as what we're sharing this week. And, if you want a miracle, you'll have to go see Jesus. I can't give you one. But I certainly will share in the celebration when you found that God has delivered you from one of those situations where it could have ended up entirely different. And I only told you one story, but when it came to automobile and motorcycle accidents, I'm a miracle.
Yes, you are.
Because I hit the back of a Cadillac on one the busy streets in this city at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when there was traffic going by me on both sides. And I said, my mind said, you cannot leave this motorcycle. And I didn't. It locked up in the back of this Cadillac, and I bent the gas tank and the handlebars holding on. Because I knew if I landed on either side of that had traffic in it, I was not going to make it through the night. And I had a 17-year-old hit my Harley broadside. And the only reason I had this left leg is that I had crash bars on it. And by the time it broke them off, I was flying.